Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there are so many wonderful accounts in the Bible of Moses' life. You know about the murder and the escape from Egypt. And you know about the parting of the Red Sea and the pillar of fire and smoke. You've heard of the tablets of stone and the golden calf. You remember when Moses came across the bush that was on fire but didn't burn up? Of course you do. I don't need to bore you with those details, but do you remember when Moses didn't want to go? Didn't want to go back to Egypt? Didn't want to be the leader of God's people, those stiff-necked people? Moses certainly never set out to be the mouthpiece of God Almighty. With his lack of speaking ability, talk about the wrong person for the right job. Moses told God that too. Moses told the great I Am that he wasn't a good choice. Moses told him, I'm not a good leader. I can't bring weighty words with my poor speaking. There at the burning bush, Moses told God that he wasn't up for the job, but God didn't listen to him. Oh, dear Lord, Moses said, please send someone else. And wasn't that he didn't want to go back, but he didn't want to go back. And it wasn't that he was afraid, although he was afraid. Moses just felt, well, not up for the job. He wasn't brave enough or smart enough or holy enough. Why would they listen to him? But in the end, his own inadequacy didn't matter, not to God. God decided to use Moses, so he did. And he put his staff in Moses' hand to work his miracles at his word. And he sent Moses and his inadequacies and his inability to speak well and his murderous ways out to do the bidding of God. Moses didn't look like a hero, leaving sheep behind to call on Pharaoh's court. Moses questioned what God was up to. And Pharaoh didn't believe him. The people of Israel didn't believe him either. Moses didn't even believe in himself. But the great I Am is greater than the gods of Egypt. The great I Am is greater than Moses' inadequacy. The great I Am will accomplish his purpose, even when his people are weak and doubting, confused and rebellious, incompetent and afraid. Moses learned firsthand that God can use inadequate people to do his saving work. The plagues took on the gods of Egypt one by one. These miracles came at God's holy word through Moses' poor voice. And the lamb's blood covered over the houses, and the angel of death passed over just as God had promised. The armies of Egypt were drowned in the waters of the sea. Moses saw it all happen. He was part of it all. He was never in control. It wasn't about him. It's about God. The entire book of Exodus, in fact, the entire Bible is about God in what he does. And what he does is bring about a new creation. His will is that our sins are forgiven, that life and salvation are yours. It was incredibly late. Incredibly late, and the garden was awfully dark. Or maybe the moon was shining brightly to illuminate the garden of olive trees, a silvery shimmer to illuminate the disciples and Jesus. The disciples are over there, Peter, James, and John, and they cannot stay awake. Jesus is up just a little bit further, and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." I could just imagine that Jesus takes a deep breath and he exhales with a sigh. He looks up to heaven with a confident nod. He whispers, "Nevertheless." He had just made his bold request to the Father, "Let this cup pass from me. Father, you have prepared a table before me. You filled this cup. You've poured your wrath into this cup, and the scent of it makes me sick. The cup is filled to the brim. It's nauseating. The sight is awful. The smell turns my stomach. Let this cup pass from me. Reeks of idolatry. I can smell the ugliness of awfulness. My nose burns with the sour scent of lies and murders and affairs and greed and hate and selfishness and rotten evil that brought these grapes to fruition. Let this cup pass from me." Jesus takes a breath and he exhales with a sigh and he looks to heaven and with a silent nod he whispers, "Nevertheless, nevertheless, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." The cup set before Jesus contains God's burning anger against everything rotten in your life, against everything rotten in the world. And if Jesus drinks from the cup, it will kill him. And so he prays. He prays for another way. "Let this cup pass away." But he also prays, "Nevertheless." It's a pivotal moment in this potent prayer. Nevertheless. In that one word, Jesus not only prays to the Father, but he proclaims to you and to me in that one word, "Nevertheless." Jesus declares to us, God is a good Father. You can trust him. His goodwill is life and love for his children. His goodwill is life and love for you. God is a good Father. You can trust him. Even when your situation seems to be full of darkness and suffering, God is going to take care of it in a way beyond your understanding. God is a good Father. Nothing can hinder his good and gracious will. And his good and gracious will is the forgiveness of sins, salvation, even life everlasting. Even when we can't see it, even when we can't feel it, even when we can't conceive of it. And so Jesus prays, "Nevertheless, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." It's the prayer of faith, and it's the proclamation of God's faithfulness. Jesus prays, "Nevertheless." Jesus then drinks the cup down to the last drop. With innocent trust, Jesus commends himself into the Father's hands, God's will, with his final breath. Though that final breath turned out to not be so final in the end. Because God's good and gracious will is life and love for his children, beginning with his only begotten Son. God began a new work that would be for all of his children. Resurrection, new creation, life. And as we live that life of faith today, even before our final resurrection, we lean into the nevertheless of Jesus' prayer. We pray, "Thy will be done." Seeing Jesus trust his Father, seeing God work through Moses, helps us to trust God as our Father too. With faith, We believe, even when faith is manipulated or religion becomes a tool for evil. We cling to the gracious will of God, even when it's hard to see. And then slowly, because trust is only deepened and developed over time, slowly we begin to echo the trust, the nevertheless of Jesus' prayer, echoing those words of "Thy will be done," as we have been practicing this year. As I continue to hear more and more members in Bible study and church meetings say, "Thy will be done." Those are the words that followers of God continue to echo and say, "God, help me to do well on this assignment. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Thy will be done. God, I need a better job. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. God, make me more popular. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. God, bring more people to our church. Fill these pews. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. God, fix what's broken with our nation. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. God, show this person their fault. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. God, help us conceive a child. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. God, I want out of this marriage. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. God, take this cancer from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. God, help us turn all over to you. Let us all continue to pray, "Thy will be done." For Jesus points us to his good Father, a Father whose good and gracious will can be trusted, even when we can't see the big picture. And so we pray at all times, "Thy will be done." Amen. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good that you may do his will. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.